went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind. He was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man, sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. You probably didn't even know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you care to take a dare, I'll just make a bet for you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but let's give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul. I think I'm better than you." Boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'm gonna take your bet. You're gonna regret. I'm the best as ever been.
I ain't asking nobody for nothing. If I can't get it on my own, if you don't like the way I'm living, you just leave this long hair country boy alone." Well, the eagles been flying slow, and the flag's been flying low, and there's a lot of people saying that America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. Now this lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. If our enemies don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We gonna put our feet back on the paths of righteousness, and then God bless America again. Tomorrow, oh, would you still remember me?
Well, the train, the ground, the switches running flat on time. Tucker boys are cooking down Carolina. People down in Florida can't be still when old Leonard Skinner's picking down in Jacksonville. People down in Georgia come from near and far to hear Dickie Betts picking on a red guitar. So get around, get around, you to get down. You can get down to it and be loud. You can be loud here and be proud. You can be proud here, be proud, you rebel. South's gonna do it again. Yeah, it is. Well, John said the city was just four square.
Walking in Jerusalem just like John.
And he declared he'd meet me there.
Walking in Jerusalem just like John.
When Peter was preaching at the Pentecost.
Walking in Jerusalem just like John.
He was endowed with the Holy Ghost.
Walking in Jerusalem just like John.
I won't be ready. I won't be ready. I won't be ready. Lord, walking in Jerusalem just like John.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art.
And joining us at PMP Network right now is a legend in the country music business. He is a man who has won many awards and is still churning out some great stuff, including this great new CD. Is called Charlie Daniels, A Gospel Blues Collection, Bluegrass Collection, Songs from the Longleaf Pines. And I also got myself a copy of the CDB, The Essential Super Hits of the Charlie Daniel Band. Great stuff, including a DVD and a great rendition of the Pledge of Allegiance. Joining us right now, Charlie Daniels. Hey, Charlie, how are you?
I'm fine, buddy. And you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Good, good.
Nice to talk to you. You're keeping busy, boy, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you step ahead of the bill collectors.
Yeah, I mean, you know, did you ever think when you were a youngster growing up in Wilmington, North Carolina, that when you were closing in at 70 years old, you'd still be running around touring and doing new stuff? And
I had no idea. No, there's no way I could have known that. I've been blessed. The good Lord has blessed me with doing something for a living for all these years that I thoroughly enjoy doing, and I'm just still be out here doing it, you know, and still be a viable part of the music business.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe that back in 1959, when you recorded that instrumental Jaguar with Bob Johnston, that all of a sudden things would start going for you. And in fact, you guys even had a B-hit together with Elvis Presley, a B-side hit called It Hurts Me that you guys wrote.
Boy, you bring back some memories.
A long time ago. I mean, it's amazing that, you know. It's hard to believe, actually, that the Elvis Presley song was 41 years ago.
You know, hard to believe. The time just goes by in such a doggone hurry anymore. It's hard to keep up with.
Yeah. It is hard to keep up, that's for sure. You're on a cell phone, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, you're cutting in and out all over the place.
I'm on my bus here, so.
Okay, it's cutting in and out, so hopefully the people out there can still hear you, because,
okay. Yeah,
it's a little difficult. But, you know, I remember in the early 70s when you kind of established yourself with funny songs like Uneasy Rider and Long-Haired Country Boy and The South's Gonna Do It. That really became that propelled you to an amazing career with a bunch of different labels. Now you're with a different label than you were before. Was it Koch Records?
Well, it's Koch. It's Koch is the distributor for it, yeah. It's a partnership sort of thing, yeah.
Blue Hat Records.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Blue Hat Records.
Yeah. So I assume you have an ownership in that company at this point.
Yes.
You should. It's one of the things that a lot of artists, they you know, they go through times like you did recording for companies like Capitol and Kama Sutra and Epix, and the people who make the money are the record companies for the most part.
Well, you know, we have a special reason for doing this is because because of a lot of things you just mentioned. I mean, it's, you know, the aggravation of putting up a record company that is not really taking care of business, and but no longer wanted to do that, and so we decided to do our own thing, and I intend to spend my career doing what I want to do and what I feel like is best for the band to do. So
it's a nice thing, but I remember in 76, I think it was, when you signed with Epic, that was like at that point when they signed you to their rock roster, the rumor was you were making about $3 million on that contract, which back then was a ton of money.
Well, it was not, that included production too. I mean, it was not just clear across the board by any means, but it was, I think at the time it was probably the biggest deal ever been signed at Nashville.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the summer of 79, the their big hit, that one that still people think of when I mention Charlie Daniels is coming on, they go, "Oh, the devil went down to Georgia." That's the one. Wow. That thing became a huge success, won a Grammy Award, 3 CMA trophies, and became a cornerstone of the Urban Cowboy movie soundtrack.
Yeah, Urban Cowboy was, I think, a big thing for country music. I think it was one of the, John Travolta being the big teenage star that he was at the time, I think went a long way toward legitimizing country music with the teenagers and kind of starting up a thing with a lot of people listening that had not listened before. And we were very fortunate to be a part of that. And of course, kind of featured some of our songs in there, which really helped out. The funny thing about it is, they still show that movie on TV nowadays.
Oh, well, they sure do, yeah.
And I get older and older every time I look at it.
Well, you must still get money from it, which is a good thing, too.
Well, it's not a whole bunch, but, yeah, we probably get a little bit from it.
Well, because, I mean, right after that, almost like the same time, was when Million Mile Reflections came out, and that thing became triple platinum, mostly because of the movie, I think.
Well, Million Mile Reflections was already well up and running. We did the Urban Cowboy thing in 1980, and the record came out in 1979. And I think that it was pretty well on its way, you know, when we did the movie.
Yeah, it certainly didn't help. It didn't hurt, right? That's for sure.
No, it helped a lot, no doubt about it.
Tell us I thought it was interesting to find out what the Million Mile Reflection meant. Everybody thinks of the Million, you know, Man March or whatever, but tell us what that was about.
Actually, we had planned on naming the album Reflections, just Reflections, not mm-hmm. seeing my reflections. And in between the time that we planned that and the time we actually got the record out, Gene Watson, a country artist, came out with an album called Reflections. And so we had to change. We had to draw up a new battle plan. So I had a song called Reflections on the album, and I didn't want to change everything because mm-hmm. of the song. So we decided to call it Me and My Reflections. You know, just kind of back up and push a little bit, do a little bit different thing, but kind of keep the same, you know, the same sort of a feel on it.
I understand that actually that the Charlie Daniels Band would often tour about 250 days a year and would log 1 million miles on the road.
Oh, we had logged over 1 million miles by that time.
Yeah, so that the million-mile reflection really kind of paid on that too as well.
That's what it was, basically. You know, it worked. Probably worked better doing million-mile reflections, really, than it would have to have done, you know, just the reflection thing. Because it was, you know, it was we had done probably well over 1 million miles by that time anyway, so it just made sense, you know, to be in my reflections.
You know, nowadays they're talking right now about the Live 8 concert coming up with Bob Geldof, but I mean, before all these big live, you know, fundraisers came, wasn't there something that you started called the Volunteer Jams?
Yes, there was. It was Volunteer Jam was something we started in 1974, and it was a mainstay in the Nashville music scene for many years. In fact, we did it up until the time that it got to the point where it was really hard to get a good roster of talent, because people had got invited to so many things back, you know, after a while. And when we first started it, it was a very unique thing in that there was, it was just this one thing basically going on that was done in this way. And it was just a volunteer jam. And then all of a sudden, here's Live Aid, this aid, that aid, all these different aids. And people got invited to so many different things that they could not possibly make all of them. So it got to where it was kind of a problem to get a good roster talent together. So we quit doing it on a yearly basis.
Did you ever do like Farm Aid yourself or any of these other ones?
Yeah, we've done two Farm Aids. We did the first one and then one later on.
Yeah. Those were exciting when they first started.
Oh yeah, yeah, they were, and it was a noble thing to do, the effort to help the farmers who were in such a real mess, you know.
Yeah, I understand that that you made an appearance at the Charlie Daniels Museum, and you were signing copies of the new CD, but I understand also that you bore with you this huge guitar. Tell me about that.
Well, actually, this is a, I can't remember the name of what they call it right now, but it's a project that's going on in Nashville.
Well, it's called Guitar Town, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right, yeah. It's a project that's going on that is about, you know, of course, Nashville's a guitar town, you know, and it's, they're these huge guitars that are all over the place in Nashville. They're all over the streets there, and we sponsored one of them, actually, and they'll be auctioned off later on. They'll be auctioned off to raise money for some of the charities around town. But yeah, it was down there. It's a big old thing, I tell you.
10 feet tall, they say, huh?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
Well, and I guess that it's funded by Gibson Guitar.
Yeah, Gibson Guitar was one of the people that that did that. We just started a thing called Operation Heartstrings. When we went to Iraq, we found out that a lot of people play music, but they don't have musical instruments. So we started a thing that we're going to send the guitars and different kinds of instruments over to over there for the folks to play. And Gibson Guitar came on board. Quite a few people did, and they're going to send like 100 guitars over there for the troops, and I think they're to be commended for that. They're pretty well charity minded, as they are.
That's a great thing. And, you know, after hearing the president the other night and knowing all the controversy going on, it was nice for me to find out that you spent 9 days out there, you know, Kuwait, Iraq, Afghanistan, Germany. Tell me about it. Tell me about what your thoughts were about the whole thing.
Well, we're winning the war, first of all. I don't know why it is that it seems that the only war that our people are not winning is the war with the media. And I don't understand why that is. It just doesn't make sense to me, but that's...
Well, it's pretty easy Charlie, if you think about it, because the Democrats, you know, the liberals run the media, and the Democrats really want to see the United States lose because it's better for them.
That's stupid, though.
I know.
It's not better for them. It's horrible for them. In fact, I sometimes wonder where these people, this guy Durbin that came up, I blistered his butt in my column, too, by the way, and will continue to do so. This guy is so off the wall. He is so... He does not understand anything. Anybody who would say what he said about our troops is just
clueless.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And his analogies made no sense. None of them held water. None of the things that he said made sense. Talking about Hitler. Hitler killed millions of people. Nobody's died in Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, the whole thing, it was ridiculous, but again, the media played it up and made it look like it was legitimate, which it wasn't.
Well, I think, to meet anybody yet that thought it was legitimate.
Well, I haven't either, but of course, if you read the Boston Globe and the New York Times, it's all legit there, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, who listens to them? I don't.
I'm embarrassed to be from Massachusetts. The home of Ted Kennedy and John Kerry, myself.
Oh, here's a guy that came to drive a car over a bridge, and he wants to tell the president how to run the war.
Exactly. Yeah, he should get driving lessons first.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But tell me about the morale of the troops and stuff. Are they sensing what we're hearing here about this crap, or are they just doing their job and getting it done?
Well, they're sensing it. I mean, they're confused about why the media here is not reporting the good things. I don't know how many of them said something about it. Why do they report all the bad stuff and magnify all the bad stuff, and they don't report the good things and thousands of good things that are happening, the schools that are open, the fact that we're winning that war hands down. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, it's deplorable to lose anybody in a war. But the thing, and I hate it every time anybody in our soldiers get killed or hurt, it really bothers me. But, you know, that's one of the realities of war. And one of the things that is not being brought out in the major media that should be, we're fighting the same people in Afghanistan that we're fighting in Iraq. They're both the same people.
Exactly.
So what's the difference? It's two different fronts. And anybody that thinks that those people will come over here, once we take the energy off of their energy out of fighting us in another place, their first target would be the United States of America. And it is the United States of America, but we are doing a lot to deter it. We'll never know how many terrorist attacks have been forwarded since 9/11 that our agencies can't talk about, and yet the people in the media sit back and take pot shots. We could either have a Homeland Security and some the right kind of laws to police this country, or we won't have a country to take care of, is what it comes down to. Those people destroy this country bit by bit, piece by piece.
Well, they're doing it from within, too, you know, the enemy within.
Well, I think the best friend that Al-Qaeda's got is probably the United States media. I hate to say that, but, you know, it's a daggone fact of life. It's true, and like I say, I hate that it's that way, but, of course, there's nothing to do about it. They brought it on themselves. And one of these days, you know, the funny thing about it is, if we had the kind of country that a lot of the media want us to have, this socialistic sort of thing. Socialist, any country that you've ever seen that has communism turns into a totalitarian regime. That's exactly what it is. Any country, is there Cuba, Russia, China, Korea, they're all totalitarian regimes, and the first thing they do is shut down the media.
Mm-hmm.
They shut down the free media. They shut down the press. They shut your show down.
Right.
Because you criticize what they do, they shut me down. They would that blame well shut down the media, and I can't understand why these people think that they wouldn't suffer if this was to happen. It's crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I'm amazed that you went down there for 9 days, and I wanted to know, you know, did you talk to any of the people who actually lived there, who were from there, and some natives?
No, we couldn't. They kept us, you know, pretty isolated. The main danger over there is on the ground. If you get on the ground, they have a pretty legit. They shot at us one night in the air, as far as that goes. But you know, it's not a completely safe place by any means. But if you get on the ground, we had an IED that went off about 15 miles or so from where we were doing a show. One of those improvised,
the car bombs
devices.
Right.
And but you know, we didn't. They wouldn't let us travel on the ground, and I didn't want to. And we couldn't get out in the city. We were in Baghdad, but we couldn't get out. But we did fly over it, and it's pretty pitiful looking sight, really.
So tell me a little bit about the new CD. It's interesting. You went to a direction that's related to country, and a lot of people think about bluegrass, but you really got into something in gospel bluegrass, a little bit different for you.
Well, I think bluegrass music is the purest form of country music. I see it as probably about as pure as you can get as far as country music is concerned, because it's the kind of music that people can sit out on the front porch and play with acoustical instruments, and it's just a real free form type of a music, and it's not bound by any kind of there's a lot of places you can go with it. I mean, a lot of directions you can go with it. It's a fun sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's an instrumental on there. There's a couple of recitations of the 91st Psalm and also the 23rd, interestingly done, too. I thought that was kind of a cool thing to do.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And you also have the Pledge of Allegiance, which you did on the Super Hits one, too. I like that, too.
Yeah, that was a thing that was done by Red Skelton many years ago. It was one of his teachers in school had explained to his class what the pledge was, what it meant, what it was about, and it was one of those things that kind of stuck around. And somebody came up with the idea. I was one of the guys at our record company came up with the idea. Said, "Well, you gotta do that," you know. And I heard it, and I said, "Gosh, you're absolutely right. I should do it."
You got a couple songs that I consider very patriotic on there. You got "In America," and again, talking about the flag, "This Ain't No Rag, It's a Flag."
Uh-huh.
I love that stuff.
Well, thank you.
We need more of that. You and and Lee Greenwood with "God Bless the USA." Yeah. This is the kind of stuff we need in this country.
Well, I'm proud to have been a part of bringing some of it, at least.
Yeah. So, are you on a tour right now?
Yeah, I'm talking to you from in Iowa. I'm in Clinton, Iowa. We're playing here tonight. We're kind of working our way across the country, and they end up in Nashville on the 4th of July.
And folks can go to charliedaniels.com to get your schedule, right?
They sure can, yeah. We'd be glad to have them go there and get it.
And you can get the CD as well. It's the new one. It's called A Gospel Bluegrass Collection, Songs from the Longleaf Pines. And my favorite song on the whole one is How Great Thou Art.
Well, thank you.
I really like that. I mean, I love that song anyway, but
I do too.
You got a unique interpretation of it, and I like that. You listen to it, I can tell it's Charlie Daniels doing that song. You know, Elvis Presley did his version of that song as well, and he did a beautiful job too.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, so and also again, folks, if you want to catch up on Charlie Daniels, some of the songs they've had, the Essential Super Hits is a great one to do it with. Gives you a lot of the hits, not all of them, but a lot of them. And it's a good way to get into the back catalog. Charlie, thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us.
It's my pleasure, my friend. Thank you. God bless you.
You too. And if you're ever in Boston, please call us up and look us up.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.